because of me noticing all the crap that was going on in my life rather than just being in it. And so today I want to help us see if we can't get a little bit more connected to that understanding. To that, there's a couple of things. So usually we go into noble silence and we don't use our cell phones, we don't talk, we don't do any of that, you know. We try to stay away from those distractions. And if you're anything like me, then you still use your cell phones and you still get distracted and you still talk and do all of that. And so it's not so much that I want you to stop doing that, like don't do that. What I want us to do instead is to notice that you're talking. Notice that. There's a way that we can just start talking and just being in talking, but there's also a way that we could notice and be aware that I'm talking. And notice what happens when I'm talking to someone versus what happens when I'm not talking to someone. You could just use that as an opportunity to practice. Instead of the, you know, trying not to talk or trying not to use your cell phone, could you notice that you're using it in a day where you have basically given yourself permission to practice? So then noticing why you have to check Facebook even though it's only been half a day gone by, noticing that becomes more important than whether you do or don't. Noticing if you don't use your cell phone, like let's so you notice what happens to you when you actually spend the day not caught in all the other stuff that's going on. Because part of the reality is that we are going to sit here all day with our lives. We're going to sit here with our lives going on in our heads, going on in our bodies. It's just not going to go away just because we happen to come into this very nice space amongst all these trees. That's not what's going to make our lives go away. And so we have to sort of learn how to be with our lives and not try and kind of end that running away from it. So that's what we're going to try to do, is to instead of finding a way to turn away from it, we're going to find a way to see if we can be with it without it being such a distraction to us. Could we just learn how to be with it? And it's hard to do that in one day, but that is the task we're going to take on. And for those of you that know anything about Mission Impossible, that is your task if you choose to take it. I won't self-destruct in 5 minutes, but so let's see a little bit about suffering. I mean, that's a sort of the nature of it, but if you think about it, it feels like we're in really difficult times right now, doesn't it? Feels like something has shifted underneath us. Something has happened. Something is going on in the world around us. And how did it get this way? What happened? And so I find myself, every time I look at politics or think about politics, I just keep asking myself, when did this happen? Where are we going here? What is going on here? There's a sense that something has shifted, changed underneath our ground, and things are not quite as secure as they used to be. And we think we are having a lot of difficult times. It's very difficult right now. Money, family, health, all these things are showing up. It doesn't matter what country you come from. We're all kind of experiencing the same kind of thing. Even though we think there are a whole bunch of people out there that are having a great time. We're having a bad time, but there's a whole bunch of people running loose, rampant, having a great time. As if somehow or another it's either us or them. But actually, everybody is having a difficult time. And it's not so much because of who we are or who we aren't, whether you're on the left or the right or in the middle somewhere, or where you are in your religion, whether you're Christian or Jewish or Muslim or Buddhist. It's not really about that. It's because life has three characteristics in it. Three root things here that I'm going to, shouldn't call them characteristics, but three qualities that make this time so difficult. It's uncertain. It's not familiar to us. And it's unknown. We don't know where we're going. We don't know what's going to happen. So all this uncertainty, not sure we're going to be safe or not. And this is not familiar ground. Some of what's happening here, it seems so like I don't even know how we got here. Especially coming from America. I'm just sort of like, oh my God, what has happened? You guys might feel still a little in the familiar. But even that is getting a little shaky because the world around you is getting all shaky. But this isn't the first time we've been in a place like this. So, think about it. When you went to kindergarten, you were probably in a pretty shaky spot there. It's not familiar going around all these other kids, and I don't get my own stuff, and don't have mama and daddy around. You know, you don't really know what this whole school thing is about. Not sure if I like it, too much work. And, you know, you're not sure it's safe here with these people. So it's all this uncertainty. Or we could fast forward it to when we were in high school. Same kind of energy all around us. When you start dating, first job, I mean, it is the nature of life. Because uncertainty and the unknown and things being unfamiliar is very much inherent in life. It's not some other thing about life. It is life. It comes from this impermanent characteristic of being human, this natural phenomena. Things are always shifting and changing, and because of that, it's always uncertain. It's always unfamiliar, and it's always stepping into the unknown. The difference about what's happening right now is that we see it. We know it. We feel this uncertainty. We feel this impermanence. We feel this dissatisfaction with life, and we feel this sense of it seems like life is moving on and it doesn't have anything to do with me. We're feeling the actual three characteristics in life. And whenever we feel it, whenever we feel and make actual contact with this natural occurring relationship in the world, we think, oh my God, this is terrible times, difficult. This is suffering. This is a problem. We got to fix this. But actually, it's in the feeling it that you have the opportunity to awaken. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that as the day goes on, but it's in our noticing this that we could actually awaken. When Barack Obama won the election, I didn't think about what I'm thinking about now, that Trump won the election. I didn't think about am I going to live tomorrow? Is everything going to be okay? Are we going to be blown up? I didn't think about things like that. But it could have happened. He wasn't exactly the kind of, he didn't have the political views that I would want. He wasn't exactly, this is my ideal president. I liked the fact that he was black, and I liked the fact that America finally voted in a black person into the presidency, but I didn't agree with all of his politics. I thought he was way too right for me. But I wasn't scared. I wasn't scared, I wasn't worried, I wasn't in this sense of anger and frustration. But now I feel that sense of uncertainty. So over the course of the day, I'm going to try, because we only have one day, to see if I can't do some, to kind of break this up in a way that we can see how come we feel uncertainty sometimes and we don't feel uncertainty other times. And what does it mean if we begin to feel that edge? What does that do for us? What does that mean? What's possible with that? So we're going to do that by having group discussions, like group interviews, about practice and how to work with that uncertainty. We're going to try to divide the room up into three, so two in the morning and one in the afternoon. And so it'll be kind of fairly large groups, but you don't have to go in the group if you don't want to. You can always ask your questions. We'll have question and answer periods during the regular when we're all together too. So you could still use your walking periods to go walk outside in the beauty, and don't worry about it. You won't lose that opportunity to ask the question. So we'll have some periods where we'll talk about, in your individual practice, how do you work with this? During the sits, I'll try to do some guided meditation to help us kind of settle into touching into this sense of the uncertainty and letting ourselves kind of be with it. While some talking, I'll do some Dhamma talks about that. But ultimately, what I'm hoping you will let yourself do today is to notice when you feel that rub of something, irritated with something, irritated with the temperature, it's too hot, it's too cold. Don't try to fix the temperature. Just notice you are having a problem with this. So if you're having a problem with this, better to work on a problem with the temperature than to have to work on something outside, much bigger. So if you're going to find enlightenment, let's just find it with the temperature. Leave it the way it is. I mean, you have to think about it. We don't ask for any bad stuff to come our way. But so if it happens to be that the thing that's bothering you is something like the temperature, or like someone's breathing too hard, or like something that just is not quite right affecting my retreat, then that is what you want to stay just like that. So you could use that as the opportunity to practice with it. And what would it take to let go of that rub around the temperature? That's what we're going to practice with. If we close the door, because I was telling Margot, I like it pretty hot. So it's never hot enough for me in a retreat center. And so if I got the temperature to the way I like it, what do you think would happen? I would be like off in fantasy land somewhere, just sitting there. But if there's a little bit of a cold, like a little edge, then I'm sort of away. the temperature. So instead of the temperature, since I'm awake, I might as well pay attention to why the temperature is causing me so much trouble. So that's what we're going to try to work on. It's actually the first noble truth. It's the first thing that we need to notice, is that rub. That's it. That's the first thing. It happens to us all day long, all the time. We're getting rubbed about something. Something's poking at us. We never turn to the poke. We just react to the poke and do and fix whatever we need to fix to get things back squared up so I don't feel any poking. And then we come and sit down with our practice. Say, okay, I'm going to get enlightened. Try it again. And then there's this poking. And we keep fixing the poking and then sit down and try to get enlightened. You see what I'm saying here? The only way to get to that place of liberating the mind is through the poking. That's why the poking keeps showing up. We keep sitting down. We keep trying to get settled, see things as they truly are. And then if it wasn't for all this poking, I'd be relaxed. So what I want to try to help us do is to feel a little comfort in the idea that there's a poking going on with you today, whatever it is. It may not even be that the poking is coming from anything that has to do with this retreat. It could very well be that the poking is coming from a constant thought about some difficulty in your life that keeps coming back. And you're trying to get rid of it, shove it to the side so you could get to your retreat and get some peace and calm. And it keeps coming back in. Just when you get calm and peaceful, psh, there it comes. And what if it's coming because you keep sending a message to the heart, what is called the citta, the heart mind. You keep sending a message to your heart saying, I want to be still, I want to be still. So it keeps showing you the thing that won't let you be still. It keeps coming, poking. So we're going to see if we can practice being with that poking without having to shove it away. And will it really disrupt your practice so much if you sat here with it? From a place of stillness rather than from a place of agitation and irritation. The poking might not be thoughts, might not be temperature, could be sensation, like pain or irritation in the body, anxiety. I lived with anxiety in practice for a long time. So some of that poking could just be that as soon as I get still and quiet, oh my God, I'm started getting all this panic feeling on the inside, this irritation on the inside. It's so uncomfortable in the body. I don't want to be with this. I wouldn't call this a poking. I'd call this a whacking. This is not poking. This is not a little push. So we have to be with the whacking too. We have to sort of sit here and see. You're giving yourself a window of time, a day, to watch the nature of the way the mind is. And you're giving yourself enough time to do that. Enough time to watch the whacking. And to see how much of this whacking is coming from the actual sensation. And how much of it is coming from my dreaded hatred of this sensation that's always there. That's what we're going to work on. So we probably should take a little stretch so we can start our first sit. And I'll do a little, we can just stretch your legs out. I always feel fortunate because I'm always sitting in the chair and I don't ever feel like I need to stretch out. But I do think if you're sitting cross-legged, you might need to stretch your legs out a bit.